Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Here's the 0-2. Cut on and missed. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Thank you for listening to Yankees Baseball. Have a good night. And A-Bob from A-Rod. Robbie Cano, a don't you know? Can you imagine? Hello, fans, and welcome back to Pinstripes and Bright Lights. I'm John Sterling. Each episode, I'll share one of my favorite memories from my years with the Yanks. But as we always do, let's open up the mail and let you throw out the first pitch. Today's letter comes from the Rodriguez family. Dear John, John Sterling, Frank Sinatra, my wife. That's my all-time list of favorite voices in that order. My goodness, please. Sinatra's my favorite as well. Whether it's my grandpa's dinky hand radio, the speakers of my dad's car, or my cell phone AirPods, your voice will forever be in the background of some of the most cherished memories of my life. I'm a comedy writer, and I've made a couple of bucks off my ability to make puns. I truly believe I owe that all to you. Sterling is Stir King of the wordplay. Even when TV is an option, my family still listens to the radio broadcast, and it'll be that way for as long as you're on the play-by-play. Your partnership with Susan has even helped get my wife to become a Yankees fan. Having a female announcer who knows her stuff as well as the best of them is awesome. And the way the two of you play off each other is a perfect partnership. You can't predict baseball, but you can predict you're going to hear a great game being called when John's on the mic. I really mean it, John. You've meant the world to my family and myself, and all these years, your hard work and dedication has added something incredibly special to being a Yankees fan. Thank you for everything. And thank you to the Rodriguez family. In St. Louis, Missouri, they had an area of the city called The Hill. It was, you know, basically Italian immigrants. And in one of those great stories about America, you know, I always come to the two great composers, George Gershwin and Ira Gershwin. And George was so brilliant. And he died at 38. Imagine all the music we missed because George Gershwin died at 38. His brother, Ira, the lyricist, he lived to his 90s. And I find it how remarkable. This Russian Jewish family emigrates to the United States, get an apartment in Brooklyn, have two sons, and they grow up to be George Gershwin and Ira Gershwin. It's amazing. Well, on the Hill, in, I guess, the late 20s, the two Italian families of the many, many there had a couple of sons. And the sons turned out to be buddies and best friends. One was a ball player who went on to have a lot more fame as a broadcaster, Joe Garagiola. And his buddy was a fellow named Lawrence Peter Yogi Berra. And years later, and I think it's in one of our Yankeeographies, Joe Garagiola says about Yogi, I can sum up Yogi in one word: underrated. Because people thought, you know, Yogi was some comic character. He wasn't. He was a great player. Stengel called him my assistant manager. He was always a great clutch hitter. He had big hits. He was an outstanding catcher and became a very good manager. So I want to take you back to 1956. And imagine, you know, it was different in those days. No internet, of course. And even though there was news and the news went on radio and TV, it wasn't the same as today. Can you imagine if Yogi did this today in New York City, how it would be remembered? Anyway, the Yankees and Dodgers had a great series in 1956. It went seven games, like the one in 1955, and 52 went seven games. And the Yankees were behind right away. They played two games in Brooklyn, and they got killed, especially in the second game, and they're down 2-0. So they win game three, and they win game four at Yankee Stadium. Now, game five, you've read about. Why? Well, that was the day that Don Larsen pitched his perfect game. And you've seen this a million times, Yogi racing out from home plate and leaping in his arms. You know, Larsen was 6'4", big, strong guy, could carry Yogi, which he had to do. So they went back to Brooklyn for game six. The Yankees had unceremoniously cut Rizzuto, their longtime shortstop, from the team on the last day of August. So he would not be with the Yanks in September and on into the World Series. And they fired him, in effect, so they could hire another left-hand hitter. They made a deal to get this National League older player, Enos Slaughter, a left-hand hitting outfielder, to help their bench. And an aside before I go on with the story, Philip Rizzuto did the most brilliant thing he's ever done in his life. He was hurt. Can you imagine how much he was hurt? And he never knocked them. He never, as they say in the business, burned the bridge. And the next year, they added him to the radio crew and TV crew, and he then had a second career, a 40-year career as a broadcaster, and look at the fame he got, all because he was smart enough not to knock them. Anyway, game six, and the Yankees put the left-hand hitting Enos Slaughter in the lineup against a Dodger right-hander. And Bob Turley is pitching for the Yankees, and Clem LeBine is pitching for Brooklyn, and they go to the 10th inning scoreless. And the bottom of the 10th inning, the Dodgers get a man on. A guy hit a line drive to left, a sinking liner. Slaughter played it badly. It went by him, and the Dodgers scored the only run of the game. They beat the Yankees 1-0 to force a seventh game. Now, here's what Yogi did. He went to Stengel, and he said, "Pitch Cooks." Johnny Cooks was a young right-hander, Jersey Johnny, as Mel Allen would call him, who won 18 games. I mean, he was a sinker ball pitcher. And Yogi said to Stengel, "Pitch Cooks. He's got that sinker. They'll hit nothing but ground balls." The Dodgers are a very right-hand-hitting team outside of Duke Snider. He'll get ground ball after ground ball. So Stengel listened to him. Other Yankees went to Stengel. This is the seventh game of the World Series now. And they said, "Get that National Leaguer out of left field." So so Stengel, who was a platooner, he was the first of the platooners. He played against a right-hander, the Dodger ace, Don Newcomb. And he played Moose Scourin, a right-hander at first, instead of Joe Collins. And he played Ellie Howard in left field instead of the left-hand hitter, Enos Slaughter. So the game begins in the first inning. Yankees get a man on with two men out. The cleanup hitter is up, Yogi Berra. Newcomb, who could really throw, fires low and hard, and Yogi connects. In right field, in Ebbets Field, they had a combination of a wall and a screen and a scoreboard. It was very high, may have been 30 feet high. And to get a home run, you had to hit it over the screen, which was a taut screen, and the scoreboard, and on to Bedford Avenue. And Yogi hit a two-run home run over the screen into Bedford Avenue, and the Yanks had a 2-0 lead. Well, Ellie Howard, who was batting lower in the batting order, came up in the second inning, and a lot of right-hand hitters for the Yankees in the old, old stadium couldn't hit home runs to left center. It was just too deep. So they perfected hitting the ball to right field, where it was a very short porch, and Ellie Howard was one of those right-hand hitters, Scourin and Hank Bauer. And Ellie Howard hit a fly ball over the screen in right field, and the Yanks led 3-0. Now we go to the third inning. The Yankees get a man on, and who's up? Yogi Berra. And Yogi Berra hits another two-run home run over the screen in right, and the Yanks had a 5-0 lead. Later, they took Newcomb out of the game, and as an aftermath to the story, in the parking lot, some parking lot attendant said something to Newcomb. Newcomb went over and belted him. So in the later on, I think it was the fifth inning, could have been the sixth, Moose Scourin comes up, right-hand hitter, against a right-hand reliever. And Scourin is looking into the Yankee dugout, and he says to the catcher, Roy Campanella, he's going to pinch hit for me. I know. And Campanella, the opposite catcher, good guy, Scourin, a good guy. And he said, oh, Moose, relax. Don't worry about it. Just, you'll be okay. And he was okay. He hit a grand slam home run. And the Yankees won it 9-0. And Johnny Cooks pitched, I believe, a two-hit shutout in the seventh game of the 56 World Series, aided and abetted by his catcher, who told Stengel to pitch him and then helped him by hitting 2 two-run home runs in the game. And the Yankees had won another world championship. Thanks for listening, everyone, and be sure to come back for more baseball stories, Yankee stories, or sports stories. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to subscribe and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find all the episodes online at pinstripespodcasts.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.
Download and subscribe to Pinstripes and Bright Lights on radio.com and the radio.com app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.